let's see where we're up to. On Daf Heyam and Aleph. Okay then, so we're like in the middle of the page. And let's just review what we discussed yesterday. There's something called Netilas Rishus, where a Dayan Mumcha, an expert who's Gomir Visavir, means he knows the laws, he has experience, he could also interpret the law, he knows the Svaras, then underlie the law. Such a person might need Rishus. He might need to get permission, and we're going to try to understand why he needs permission to judge. Because he's judging alone, meaning he's not together with another two judges to form a Bez and a Shlosha. And the Gemara says the following, that there's something called Shevet and there's something called Mechokek. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
That in the case of Bavel, there's a Reish called Lusa, and his status is that of Shevet. And when he gives Rishus, the Gemara says, that person who receives the Rishus, he can judge even in Eretz Yisrael. So that the ordination of the Reish Galus is so powerful as a Shevet that it gives the Yachid Mumcha, in this case, the status of the Yachid Mumcha universally throughout the entire globe. But in the reverse case, if the Rishus was not given by the Reish Galusa in Bavel, but rather by the head in Eretz Yisrael, which is called the Nasi HaSanhedrin, his status is only that of a Mechokek. Now we said that the status of Mechokek is inferior to that of a Shevet. And therefore, as a result, the Gemara has the following doubt. If a person who's a Yachid Mumche gets Rishus from the Nasi Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, what is his status? Does he have Rishus even in Bavel? Because again, now you're going from the level of Mechokek to a higher level of Shevet. And that's what we discussed yesterday. We stopped at Toshma. So let's just see if everybody has the place. We are now on Daf Heyam and Aleph. And the first two letters in the line are Tav Shin, well, otherwise known as Toshma, correct? If anybody has a way of counting lines and figuring out what line it is, if that helps anybody, I don't know. Otherwise,
last section of Mesoras Hashas, straight across.
Okay, so last section of Mesoras Hashas, straight across. Unfortunately, I don't have.
Okay.
I don't have Mesoras Hashas. My Mesoras Hashas is all the way on the top of the page. Okay. But if you're helped by that, that's fine. If not, just look for Toshma. What can I tell you? All right. So the Gemara is going to now tell a story, and from based on this story, we're going to try to make come to some sort of conclusion about the status of Netilas Rishus from the Nasi Sanhedrin. And do you have the originals for me, David?
Yes.
Great. So then, because this way I know my head is on straight.
It's two sides.
Okay, great. Okay. So whoever got a copy lucked out. Thank you, David, for making these copies. And what you should have in front of you on the top right should say Nun Tes, and on the next page on the top left it should say Nun Tes. Do you have such a thing?
Yeah.
Alright, so we'll put that on the side. We have a while until we get to it, but it's good that we have what we call Pas Pasalo. We know that we have the photocopy here in front of us. Okay then? So now we're ready for this Toshma. And this is the story that the Gemara is going to tell us about Rabba Bar Chana. Now, Rabba Bar Chana is a dayan who's a mumche. He's an expert. He's gomir v'savir. So he has those two qualifications that makes him an expert. And don dina. Now let's just interpret again. I can translate those two words, but I want to go beyond the translation. Don dina means he judged the case, but I have to add to that 2 points. Number one, he judged the case as a yachid without another two judges, and number two, he judged this case in Bavel. Now what we're going to see as the story unfolds is that Rabba Bar Chana had a netilas rishus, but from Eretz Yisrael, from the Nasi HaSanhedrin. He did not have a Netilus Rishus from the Reish Galusa. So in effect, did he have the higher Netilus Rishus or the lower Netilus Rishus? Excellent, the lower Netilus Rishus, because that's called Mechokek, and that doesn't live up to the standards of Shevet. So the question is going to be whether or not his judgment in Bavel is a viable judgment. If it is, then that might indicate that the Netilus Rishus in Eretz Yisrael suffices even for Chutz Laretz, even though it's on a lower level. In any event, Vitah, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana made a mistake in this judgment. Now let's just review what we know from yesterday. That when a judge is presiding over a ruling, over a din, and he's doing so as a yachid, then he takes responsibility, in event that he made a mistake, to pay compensation to the person who he wronged. Again, he didn't wrong him deliberately, but nevertheless, a person is always responsible, and he caused someone a loss. So let's say Reuven collected 1,000 from Shimon, and this psak, this ruling of the Yochid Mucha was a mistaken ruling, and therefore, when Reuven, what was the case I gave you? Reuven collected 1,000 from Shimon, so Shimon is at a loss of 1,000, and now Rabbi Bar Chana is in a pickle. He's in a bind. He wants to know: does he have to compensate Shimon for the loss of 1,000? Because Reuven, based on his ruling, on the ruling of Rabbi, Reuven collected 1,000. And keep in mind, Rabbi Osei, that if we assume that the judgment is valid, that the halacha recognizes that judgment, even though again the Netilus Rishus, as we'll soon see, was from Eretz Yisrael, then Shimon has no recourse to get his money back, because the judgment is a judgment. It's what we call in Yiddish farfallen. It's gone. That's it. It's irreversible. So now Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is very nervous. Is he obligated to compensate Shimon, that was the litigant that he found guilty, and now he has to compensate him for the loss that he suffered, for Shimon's loss. So Asal Akame de Rabbi Chia. So he comes in front of Rabbi Chia. Now, it's interesting. Rabbi Chia is in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chia is actually a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And we'll soon see that Rabbi Chia himself had a Rishus from Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So far, so good. Now, Rabbi Bar Chana issued this judgment in Bavel. And now he comes in front of Rabbi Chia, and he wants to know, does he have to compensate this Shimon, you know, this litigant that he found guilty, for a mistake in his judgment? Amar Lei, so the response of Rabbi Chia was the following. Ikibluch alayhu, if the litigants, let's call them Reuven and Shimon, excuse me, accepted your judgment, and again, Rashi adds the word legamri. Legamri means that even if you'll make a mistake, we're going to rely on your judgment. Now, your judgment doesn't have to be a judgment that reflects the Torah law. It reflects your decision in the case, and whatever your decision is, we'll run with it, we'll go with it. Lo tishalem. Then you don't have to pay. Why don't you have to pay?
They accepted it.
Exactly, because they accepted it. Both Reuven and Shimon accepted this judgment as final. And basically when Shimon, who suffered the loss here, accepted the judgment of in this case, Rabbi Bar Chana, he's basically saying to Rabbi Bar Chana that your judgment is binding, and I accept it, even if you made a mistake. Fine. Lo tishalem. Then you don't have to pay. V'ilo. But if there was no such acceptance on the part of the litigants, and this touches on an issue that I mentioned to you in passing yesterday, that sometimes the judges have a halachic right to judge the case even without the approval of the litigants. It's not up to them. So in this case, says Rabbi Chia to Rabbi Bar Chana, you did not have this kibbul alayich. They wanted you to judge based on Torah law, and you erred in your judgment. So your ruling is not a reflection of Torah law. Zil shlim. You have to pay for that. Now, from the fact that you have to pay for it, this indicates that the halacha recognizes the judgment. It's a valid judgment. Shimon will have no recourse to get his money back because the judgment is not batel mevutel. It stands as is. So the only recourse that Shimon has to get his money back is to sue the judge who is in error, and his judgment was not a reflection of the Torah law. And that's exactly what Rabbi Chiya says. So the Gemara asks the following question: why is that judgment of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana in Bavel a valid judgment? V'har Rabbi Bar Bar Chana reshusa havinokit. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's reshus was from the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael. He did not have the reshus of the Reish Galusa in Bavel. And yet, Rabbi Chiya told Rabbi Bar Bar Chana that your judgment is valid and it's halakhically recognized, despite the fact that your reshus is only from Eretz Yisrael and your judgment was issued in Bavel. Shmami no, we derive from this story, me hasam lehacha lo mahani. Shmami no. In other words, the following: if we were to argue that mehasam lahacha, meaning a netil reshus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, is valid, and it gives him reshus, license to decide cases as a yachid mumcha even in chutz laretz, then Rabbi Chiya would make no sense, because Rabbi Chiya said zil shlim, which means you have to pay for it. Well, a yachid mumcha gets reshus, if you remember the discussion that we had yesterday, and both Rav and Shmuel yesterday encouraged the Yachid Mumcha to get Rishus, because that's the only insurance policy he could get in a case of error. So then now the question is, why isn't he covered by the insurance policy? You follow what I mean? He had an Etil's Rishus. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was not just a Yachid Mumcha, but he was, as we'll soon see, he was a Yachid Mumcha who had Rishus. But and that should cover him as an insurance policy, that he doesn't have to pay back Shimon for Shimon's loss, even in the case of error. But Rabosai, what kind of netil reshus did Rabbi Bar Bar Chana have? Only from Eretz Yisrael. Shmami no, what we see from this is mehasam lehacha lo mahani, that the netil reshus, meaning the ordination, if you will, that you received from Eretz Yisrael is only valid in Eretz Yisrael, but not beyond the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So once you cross those boundaries and you enter into Bavel, you no longer have a Netilas Rishus, because you got your Rishus from a Mechokek and you didn't get your Rishus from the Reish Galusa from a Shevet. And now you have to pay, because you're not covered by the Netilas Rishus. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, had he issued a psak as a Yochid Mumcha in Eretz Yisrael, he would have been covered with the insurance policy by the Netilas Rishus that he got from the Nasi Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. But since Rabbi crossed the boundaries and he entered into Bavel and he decided to get involved in a din and sit there as a lone judge in a din and issue a verdict in a din in Bavel, he's no longer covered by the Netilas Rishus that he received from the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore he has to pay. That's what Rabbi Chiya told him. You know, you would have been a smart person had you either gotten the Netilas Rishus from the Reish Galusa, or had you decided not to get involved in a case in Bavel.
Or if he had no Rishus Bechlal, then Shimon could be Tovea on Reuben to get his money.
Correct. Well, it could be that if he had no Netilas Rishus. Well, okay, so that's the previous sugya that we learned. Okay, you remember the previous sugi Boilahu, that's on the top of Daf Heyam and Aleph, and the Gemara vacillates back and forth. What does Kagon Anna mean? And the Gemara says that is Netil Sushus absolutely critical to allow your judgment to be valid? And then the Gemara quotes Marzutra. And Marzutra issued a judgment in error, and then he came in front of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says that your judgment is valid as a Yochid Mumch, because you're Gomer V'Sofir, even though You didn't have an Atilus Rishus, correct? Let's just go. Let me just go over it one more time. Im kibul alayich lo tisham ve'ilo zil shlem shmamina kilo nokit rishusa dine dine. So that means that even though Marzutra did not have rishus, nevertheless his din is valid. His din is not batel, and in such a case, zil shlim, he has to pay. So you see that the judgment is valid even without a kabbalas rishus. Yeah, so that's the final maskana. Again, there's a Rashi against that. That's why I want you to see this article. But before we get complicated with Rashi, at least as far as the Gemara is concerned, it seems that Gemira Usvirna are the two critical requirements for Yachid Mumche to judge by himself. And Atilus Rishus is not even a requirement. Again, the Gemara continues by telling us both in the name of Rav and Shmuel, it's a very good idea for the Dayan, this Yachid Mumche, to get Atilus Rishus, because that's his insurance policy and he protects him from having to pay compensation in the case where he errs.
Right. So you're saying the conclusion you're coming to here is that he doesn't even need Atilus Rishus?
That was the conclusion we came to yesterday. But now we're asking a different question. Is he exempt from payment in the case of an error? And that depends on whether he had Atilus Rishus. Again, his judgment is valid and irreversible, even without Atilus Rishus. But now he... let's talk about Rav Bar Chana. Rav Bar Chana desperately would want to have an Atilus Rishus that's valid, because that's going to cover him for the case of Ta, that he doesn't have to pay. And yet... Rabbi Chia told him that you have to pay. Apparently he didn't have the insurance. Why didn't he have the insurance policy? Because he only had Rishus from the Nasi of Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, and he issued a judgment, an error, a mistaken judgment in Bavel. Again, the judgment is valid. Why is it valid? Because even in the total absence of Atilus Rishus, he's Gemirna Vesvirna, he is a Yachid Mumcha, so his judgment is valid. But now he has to pay compensation because Shimon is in an irreversible law situation and there's no Atilus Rishus. Well, what do you mean there's no Atilus Rishus? Rabbi Bar Chana had smicha, he had Atilus Rishus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, I mean, Hasam Lahacha Lo Mahani.
So in essence, what they've done is they've elevated smicha or Atilus Rishus and bodily above Atilus Rishus.
Correct. That's the point you missed because you came 1 minute late.
Sorry.
Okay, no, it's okay. It's all right. But just this is the point that we wanted to make, that Reish Galus is called Shevet, and Eretz Yisrael, the Sea Sanhedrin Eretz Yisrael, is called Mechokek, and Shevet is greater than Mechokek. So therefore the Gemara concludes now, the Gemara vacillated back and forth, but right now from the story of Rav Bar Chana, the Gemara concludes that Shevet is on a lower level, and the Atilus Rishus in Shevet only operates within the Shevet realm, within the jurisdiction of the Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael, but it has no effective power outside of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Rav Bar Chana is not covered with his Atilus Rishus for a ruling that he issued in Bavel. Hence, he has to pay as a Dayan Shetah. Now the Gemara asks a question and raises a contradiction from another story. Now this story is also about a Rava, but don't confuse the second Rava with the first Rava. The first Rava is the son of Chana, actually. You know, my grandfather, my mother's side, was called Chana. His name was not Chana, his name was Elchanan. So my name is Azariah Elchanan, but people called him Chana. But apparently back in the day there was a name called Chana. And, you know, if you put a Pasach under the Ches, it's a woman's name, it's Chana. But if you put a Kamatz under the Ches, it's a man's name, it's Chana. But now we're talking about a different Rav Huna. A different Rabbah, excuse me. And this is Rabbah the son of Rav Huna. Now, Rabbah the son of Rav Huna was an Amora in Bavel. And the Gemara tells us the following story. Ki havi mintze bahadi de beresh galusa. He got into an altercation, some sort of a confrontation with the Reish Galusa. That's even though he wasn't the Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa took a certain stand on an issue. and the Marik, who lived about 6 or 7 centuries ago, takes on the challenge of figuring out what exactly was the nature of his confrontation with the Reish Galusa. What were they arguing about? So again, I'm not going to go through the Marik with you. If anybody wants to cover this, we can talk about it another time. This is the politics of the Talmud, exactly what they were fighting about. But in any event, the statement that came out of Rabbah's mouth when he confronted the Reish Galusa, or the members of the Reish Galusa's house, the household, is very telling. Because he starts boasting. And he says, Omar... He says, you know what? Lav mi naichu nekit nereshusa. My status as a dayan is not dependent upon you, meaning the Reish Galusa. Nekit nereshusa mi'ava mori. Okay, so we're going to go through a whole lineage here, but the bottom line of this lineage, after we go through the details, is that Rabbah bar Rav Huna had an etilus reshus from his father, Rav Huna, who in turn had an etilus reshus from Rav. Rav had Atilus Rishus from Rav Chia, and Rav Chia from Rav Yudan Nasi. But basically the bottom line is that Rav Bar Huna is sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? He is boasting, or I don't know, maybe I'll get a better word as we go along. He's boasting the fact that he is totally independent to the Reish Galusa, that the Reish Galusa has no sovereign rulership over him. He doesn't have to kowtow to the decision of the Reish Galusa because he has his status as a dayan independent of the Reish Galusa. He gets it from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And the Gemara is going to analyze this statement of Rabbah, if he's boasting about the fact that he doesn't need the Reish Galusa. Again, the issue that came up was in Bavel, keep in mind. So now Rabbah Bar Huna is claiming, well, I have Rishus, my status, my ordination comes from Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, it must mean that the ordination for Eretz Yisrael is valid and binding even in Bavel. Otherwise, what is he boasting about? He still should be kafuf. He should still be subservient to the Reish Galusa. Why? Because we just finished saying that the Reish Galusa is on a higher level than the Nasi Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. The Reish Galusa is Shevet, and the Nasi is only Mechalke. Here, from Rabbi Barav Huna's response, you know, his formulation, we see that he doesn't need the Reish Galusa for beings. Because he has a smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Now again, the underlying thesis of this entire sugya is that you don't have to get, you don't need rishus directly from the Nasi Sanhedrin. What it means is the following: when the Nasi Sanhedrin, in this case Rabbeinu HaKadosh, gives rishus to Rabbi Chia, included in that rishus is the authorization for Rabbi Chia to pass on rishus to whoever he wants to pass on rishus, and then it keeps going on and on. So, for example, Rabbi Chia is going to get the netilas rishus from Yehuda Nasi, that gives him rishus to give rishus to Rav Huna. And Rav Huna therefore could give rishus to his son Rabbah. I skipped one generation here. Sorry. Let's go through it again. He says Nakid rishus mi Abba Mori. So Rabbah has rishus from Rav Huna. Abba Mori, my father, has rishus from Rav. Rav has rishus from Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia has rishus from Rebbe, from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So therefore, the rishus of Rabbah bar Rav Huna, the son of Rav Huna, to judge cases in Bavel, so don't shepherd with me, he says to the Reish Galusa, so I have rishus from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And if that be the case, I'm not at all subservient or in your control of your domination in of the Reish Galusa in Bavel. I have my own independent status to judge cases based on my unbroken chain of Netilas Rishus from Rebbe HaKadosh, from the Nesiyas Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, from the statement of Rav Huna, of Rabbah bar Rav Huna, if we take it literally and seriously, it means that the Netilas Rishus from Eretz Yisrael, from the Nasi, is not in any way inferior. He doesn't need another Netilas Rishus. It's like, let's say you get smicha from the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. I'm just giving you a mashal. And then you go to live in America. Do you need smicha from the American rabbis? No, you don't need that smicha. You already have smicha from Eretz Yisrael. That's more or less what Rabbi Bar Avuna was saying to the Bay, to the Bay Reish Galus. I don't need your smicha. Don't tell me that you have control over me and you could question my rulings. I have my own independent Netilas Rishus. I was ordained and recognized by the Nasi Sanhedrin, in this case Rav Yehuda HaNasi.
Here it's actually happening in reverse.
Well, but the point is that if the Netilas Rishus of Eretz Yisrael was meaningless in Bavel, which was exactly the conclusion we came to from the previous sugi of Rabbi Chiya with Rabbi Bar Chana, because Rabbi Chiya says, okay, Rabbi Bar Chana, you know what? You don't have an Netilas Rishus here in Bavel. You're going to have to pay for that because you made a toast. Even though Rabbi Bar Chana, as we'll soon see, and that's what we just saw now, actually, has smicha from Eretz Yisrael, but the smicha from Eretz Yisrael is not going to be valid. No, if the smicha from Eretz Yisrael is not valid for a case, a ruling that he gave in Bavel, then why does he boast to the Bay of Reish Galus? He says, I don't need you guys. I have an independent status here in Bavel. My status in Bavel is based on the Netilas Rishus that I got from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So the Gemara takes two approaches to this. The first approach is b'milsa d'alma hu diokim luhu. I'm going to say it in my language, then we'll try to fit into the words of the Gemara. Rabbi Bar Avuna was just using a frustrating phrase. He wanted to get them off his back, and he wanted to prove that I'm not chopped liver. I also have smicha. I also have netilas rishus. But he cannot draw any halachic conclusions from that outburst of proclamation of Rav Huna. Of Rav Huna, I'm sorry, of Rabbi Bar Avuna. So let's see if I can fit into the words. B'milsa d'alma hu d'okim le. D'okim le means he wanted to set the record straight. He wants to set them on their feet. And he wants to tell them, don't shepherd with me. Don't start up with me. I'm also chashuv. I have my own credentials. My own, I was valedictorian of my class. Don't mess with me. And so he says, but milsa di alma, but it's only milsa di alma. No, it's only a way of being docha them. That's how he wanted to push them off his back. But the truth is that halachically, Rabbi Bar Avuna was actually kafuf. He was subservient to the Reish Galusa. No matter what he said, he can't deny that, because as we just saw in the sugya of Rabbi Bar Chana and Rabbi Chiya, the Rabbi Bar Chana has no insurance policy based on the fact that he has a Netilas Rishus from Eretz Yisrael, because you need a Netilas Rishus from the Reish Galusa. So now the Gemara asks the following: if Rabbi Bar Chana lived in Bavel, and that's where he issued his ruling, and that's where he served as a Yochid Mumche, is Rabbi Bar Chana Rishus Denochit Lomali? Why did he go back to his father, let's say, and get this unbroken chain, linking him back to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? What was the purpose of his ordination? Did he just want to put up a plaque in his office? I don't know if you've ever gone to a rabbi's office, but you'll usually see they laminate their smicha, So he needed a laminated smicha from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. What purpose would it have to do such a thing if it's not recognized in Bavel? And the Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Yonah, claims that you might ask, well, maybe Rabbi Bar Chana took that smicha because on occasion he might issue a decision in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it would, he would take an LL plane if it didn't land in Athens. He landed in Eretz Yisrael and he would have to give a judgment in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, no. He says, Kfar harbei chachomim v'dayonim, Garim be Eretz Yisrael. He says there was no need for Rabbi Bar Avuna to serve in the capacity of a judge in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is full of judges. And then he says, furthermore, we're going to soon see that for a certain period of time, Rabbi Bar Avuna was in Eretz Yisrael. Then he went down to Bavel. And at that moment when he went down to Bavel, that's when he got his Rishus. So he knew clearly that he was on his way to Bavel. So why would he take Rishus when he's on his way to Bavel? We just finished establishing that the Netilas Rishus in Eretz Yisrael is only valid in Eretz Yisrael. It's not valid in Bavel. So the Gemara says, that la'ayoros ha'omdim alakvulim, that there were cities that were located on the border, the outer border of Eretz Yisrael, right before you crossed into Chutz Laretz, and Rabbah had occasion to issue a judgment on those border cities. But those border cities are within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, in such a case, he needs the Netius Rishus of the Nasi of Eretz Yisrael, so that would protect him and give him an insurance policy in case of a toast for any judgment on the border of Eretz Yisrael, these borderline cities. My Rishusa. We just finished saying that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana had an unbroken chain of Netius Rishus linking him back to Rebbe. What exactly happened? The Gemara goes into details now about how Rabbi Bar Chana achieved smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Gemara knows very well that Rabbi Bar Chana was not necessarily contemporary of Rebbe. So it says the following, Ki avi nochis. As we said before, Rabbi Bar Chana lived in Eretz Yisrael. Now he goes down to Bavel. He goes down to Bavel. Amale Rabbi Chia le Rebbe. So Rabbi Chia is now, in a sense, representing Rabbi Bar Chana to Rebbe. He's trying to get Rebbe to agree to give Netilas Rishus to Rabbi Bar Chana. Now, I think I may have failed to mention, so please forgive me for that, that Rabbi Bar Chana is Rabbi Chia's nephew. And here I'm going to need someone, if I can get one volunteer to take out a large piece of paper and create like a little bit of a family tree. Is anybody willing to do that for me? To be a scribe? I'll feed you all the names as we go along, because it's very important to know who's related to whom here. This is like the royal dynasty here of Rabbi Chia. All right, so just keep your pen and paper ready, and I'll tell you when we can start writing. So now Rabbi Bar Chana is on his way from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chia is approaching Rebbe to try to achieve a Netilas Rishus for Rabbi Bar Chana so that he could judge on the borderline of Eretz Yisrael in the Ayaros Ha'om Dibal Gvul. So here's what Rabbi Chia says to Rebbe. Ben Achi, in other words, my brother is Chana, I should say it with a comma, say Chana, and therefore Rabbah is my nephew. He is my brother's son. Yored Lebavel. He's going down to Bavel. Yored? Question mark. Will you give him permission to issue a horah? Now the word horah, which means a verdict or a ruling, has a very specific technical meaning in Shas. And what it means is horas iser v'hetter. So for example, you have a chicken and there's a bloody spot in the chicken. You don't know if it's a trefa, it's not a trefa. You need a horah. So the first question that Rabbi Chia asks Rebbe, is he willing to give for his brother's son, Rabbah, Horah? Horah means a heter Horah. Give him license to issue a verdict in Iser v'heter. Yore. So Rebbe says, I now pronounce you Yore. You can issue a Horah in Iser v'heter. Rabbi Chia asks him, Yodin. What about Didi Momenos? Are you willing to give my nephew, Rabbi Bar Chana, the status of Rishus for serving as a Yachid Mumche to decide issues of monetary nature? So Rebbe says Yodin. We'll give him Yodin. Today, for example, when we get ordination, the highest level of ordination is called Yodin Yodin. Right, that's a smicha that's given to someone who's an expert in Choshen Mishpat. I think I mentioned to you more than once that my mechutan, Rabbi Flegg, has a kolel for Choshen Mishpat of 150 avreichim. No one has finished the program in less than a decade. Okay? And many are there for 20 years. I mean, that's how complicated Choshen Mishpat is. I mean, we don't even have a clue how complicated it is. Yodin. So Rebbe agrees to give Rabba Bar Chana, that's Rav Chiya's nephew, smicha of Yodin. Then he gets to the third level. This is the most complicated area of halacha. That's called Yatir Bechoros. I don't know if anyone here is learning Masechta Bechoros. Many members of Klal Yisrael are learning Masechta Bechoros, not for long, but they're almost finished. And in Bechoros, there's what's called a Bechor Behemet Tahora. And the din of Bechor Behemet Tahora is the following, that if it has a mum, if the animal has a blemish, then you're allowed to shecht it and eat its meat. But there are two types of categories of blemishes. There's what's called a mum kavua, and there's a mum over. So there's a blemish that ultimately the body of the animal cure itself?
Repair
itself? Yeah. Okay, repair, if you like that word. And there's another category of a mum which is kavua. Kavua means that it's irreparable. And in order to study this, you need years and years of expertise. Yatir. So Rebbe agrees to give him the whole gamut from Yoreh to Yodin to Yatir, meaning that that this Rabbi Bar Chana was such an expert, he even knew how to differentiate between a mum kavua and a mum sheino kavua in a bechor. Now we're going to see that a similar story is going to happen with Rav. Rav is classically identified as one of the great, if not the greatest, Amora of Bavel. But yet, we didn't know this. Rav actually lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was an Israeli. And he made Yeridah, just like Rav Bar Chana. So now, Rav is also Rabbi Chiya's nephew. So keep in mind that Rabbi Chiya has two nephews. One nephew is Rav Bar Chana, because Chana is his brother, and he has another nephew by the name of Rav. So Ki Avi Nochis Rav LeBavel, when Rav was about to leave Eretz Yisrael, Omer Le Rebbe Chiya Le Rebbe, Ben Achosi, my nephew through my sister, my sister's son. Okay, in a minute we're going to start writing our chart. Yored LeBavel, he's about to go down to Bavel. Yored.
Is he actually asking for himself or for...
No, he's asking for Rav.
So why do they have to say he's going down to Bavli? What's that going to do with it? So Rav is going down to Bavli.
Yeah, so Rav Chiya is talking to Rebbe, and he's asking on behalf of Rav. Rav, my nephew, the son of my sister, is about to go...
Rav is his nephew, I'm sorry.
Right, Rav is his nephew.
Okay.
Again, they're two different nephews. One is a nephew through his brother, and the other is a nephew through his sister.
Okay.
And now he's up to the nephew from his sister, and he's not going to have the same exact success that he had with the nephew through his brother. Now, Amalei Reb Chiya Le Rebbe, he says to Rebbe Ben Achosi, my nephew, Yore LeBavel, Yore, Yodin, Yatir Bechoros, Al Yatir. And this is going to be a pella, because the Gemara is going to say that Rav was the all-time expert in Bechoros. There was no one who knew Bechoros like him. Rav spent 3 years living with animals to learn about the movement. So why did Rebbe pull back here? He was willing to give a smicha of Yatir to Rav Bar Chana, but he refused to give a Yatir smicha to Rav. That's going to be the next sugya. But first, we have to take a little bit of a digression. Okay, so what we're gonna do now until the end of Daf Heyam and Aleph, and a little bit on the top of the till the top line in Daf Heyam and Beis is you could put it all in brackets. This is all a Maimar Muzger, as we call it, a digression. Now watch what happens. Rabbi Chiya is appealing to Rebbe, to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, on behalf, number one, of his nephew Rabba Chana, and number two, on behalf of his nephew Rav. But he calls them by different names, if you notice. In the case of Rabba Bar Chana, he calls him the son of my brother, and in the case of Rav, he calls him the son of my sister, Ben Achosi. In truth, Rav was also the son of Rabbi Chiya's brother. And we're going to see that when we map this out in just a minute. Maishna, why is it Lamar Meir, meaning in the case of Rabbah, to Kakari, Rabbi Chiya calls him Ben Achi, the son of my brother. Umayshna Lamar, when he talks about Rav, his nephew, to Kakari, he calls him Ben Achosi. Why does he call Ben Achosi? Okay. So he says the following, V'chi tema hachi havi maisa. Maybe you'll tell me that Rabbah was Rabbi Chiya's nephew through his brother, and Rav was only his nephew through his sister. That's not true. For Amar Mar, I'm going to prove to you that that Rav was Rabbi Chiya's nephew through Rabbi Chiya's brother, and not only through his sister. For Amar Mar, Aibu. Okay, so Aibu is going to be on the top of your page. Now we're going to start writing, Don. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
So the guy on the top, you can put an underline under Aibu. So Aibu is on top. Okay? No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
There's somebody even on top of Aibu. Is there still room on top there? Or
yeah.
All right. So we'll see that on top is Rabbi Acha. Aleph, Ches, Aleph.
Let me do this in Hebrew.
Yeah, can you do it in Hebrew? What? Rabbi Acha. If you can do it in Hebrew, it's even better. Okay?
Acha.
Acha, right. Aleph, Ches, Aleph. He's on the top of the totem pole.
Okay.
Now...
And under him is...
Oh. Now under him, he has two sons. We'll see if he has any daughters in a second, so don't use up the whole spot. He has a son by the name of Aibu, and he has another son by the name of Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so we're talking about Rabbi Acha, and he has a son named Aibu, and a son named Rabbi Chiya. I'd be curious to know if the art school, by any chance, has a little bit of a diagram. This would be perfect for art school. Okay, if not, we'll make the diagram. Okay. Now watch what happens.
Can you spell those for both of them?
So again, on the top of the potent toll is Acha, Aleph Ches Aleph.
I got that right.
Aleph Ches Aleph. And he's the father of Aibo, that's Aleph Yud Yud Beis Vav, and Rabbi Chiya. Okay. Now this Rabbi Acha had two wives, not simultaneously. His first wife died, unfortunately, and then he married his second wife. Okay. Now, his first wife was the mother of Aibo.
Whoa.
Of Aibo. Okay, so you could just make up a false name if it helps you of a woman, and she is the wife of the first wife of Rabbi Acha, and the mother of Aibo. She dies, and Rabbi Acha marries a second woman. Okay, and this second woman is the mother of Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya and Aibo are paternal brothers. Now, the second wife of Rabbi Acha, who's also the mother of Rabbi Chiya, has a daughter from a previous marriage. Mm-hmm. Okay, her name is Ema, Aleph Yud Mem Aleph.
Aleph?
Aleph Yud Mem Aleph. So notice that this woman, Ema, is a sister to Rabbi Chiya. Why is that so? Because they share the same mother. She's not related at all to Aibo. Right? Because Aibo's mother was the first wife of Rabbi Chiya. The second wife of Rabbi Chiya has a daughter from a previous marriage named Ema. She's not related at all to Aibo. But since this second wife is the mother of Rabbi Chiya, therefore Ema, although she has a different father than Rabbi Chiya, but she has the same mother as Rabbi Chiya. So this Ema is a sister to...
Half-sister.
A half-sister, a maternal sister to Rabbi Chiya. Okay. Now, Aibo, who's not related to Ema, marries Ema. And they give birth to Rav. Okay? So let's just see, how is Rav related to Rabbi Chiya? Okay? So again, from the marriage between Abo and Amor, we have the child Rav. Nimtza she'Abo v'Rabchia hayu achim be'oso a'av. Right? Abo and Rabchia have the same father, Rabbi Acha. The Amo, who's the mother of Rav and Rabbi Chia, have the same mother. So they're brother and sister from the same mother. They don't have the same father.
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
Okay.
The brother and sister from the same mother?
You can't diagram this.
How can I make it?
Okay, let me just say this.
Abayu has a different mother.
Right, Ibo's mother is the second wife of his father, Rabbi Acha. Now, this woman, who's married now to Rabbi Acha in the second marriage, has a daughter by the name of Amor. That Amor is a maternal sister to Rabbi Chia.
Right.
Why is that so? Because Rabbi Chia is the product of the second marriage of Rabbi Acha, meaning the marriage to Amor. Just 1 second. Did I mess up here? Just one second. So the second wife of Rabbi Acha has a daughter from a previous marriage. That daughter, and now this second wife, after her marriage to Rabbi Acha, gives birth to Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chia is therefore a brother to this daughter Amor, the daughter of the second wife of Rabbi Acha from a previous marriage, but they share the same mother, right? Because that daughter from a previous marriage is Rabbi Chia's sister. Her name is Amor. Now what happens is that Amor gets married to Ibo is Rabbi Chia's brother. Now Rav is therefore a nephew to Rabbi Chia
twice
over. He's a nephew to Rabbi Chia because he's the son. Rav is the nephew of Rabbi Chia because Rav is the son of Ibo, who's the brother of Rabbi Chia, the paternal brother of Chia. But at the same time, Rav is the son of Rabbi Chia's sister. Why is he the son of Rabbi Chia's sister? Because Amor, as we said, who's a daughter of the from a previous marriage of the second wife of is Rabbi has the same mother as Rabbi Chia. So Rav therefore is a nephew through the sister. So the Gemara now is bothered by the fact that since the relationship between Rav and Rabbi Chia was that of a nephew in two ways, but he certainly was his nephew through his brother Ibo. So therefore, why does he call him when he speaks to Rebbe the son of my sister? So Va'amar Mar Ibo. Now Ibo is the father of Rav, as we said before, and Chano is the father of Rava. V'shilo Marto Rebbe Chia Kulu Bnei Abba Bar Acha Karsala Mikafri. Okay, we call them Rav Acha. Okay, the Gemara. The Gemara calls him Abba Bar Acha. Okay, fine. In any event, what you see clearly is that Rabbi Chia and Chana and Ibo were all brothers. They were all the children of the same father. We called them Acha. Okay, the Gemara seems to call him Abba Bar Acha. Fine. So now, it comes out that Rav, who is born to Ibo, is the nephew to Rabbi Chia through Rabbi Chia's brother Ibo. Because Rabbi Chia and Ibo are all on this list, am I right? Right? Ibo is the first on the list, and Rabbi Chia is the last on the list. So these were brothers. And therefore, Rav is the nephew through his brother, because Rav is the product of a marriage between Ibo and Amor. So therefore, why does he call him the son of my sister? Why doesn't he call him the son of my brother? Just like he called Rabba the son of Chana the son of my brother, because Chana and Rabbi Chia were brothers. So the Gemara answers, Rav barachua dahavi bar achte, since Rav has a double relationship to his uncle Rabbi Chia, he's the son of his sister, and at the same time he's the son of his brother. Therefore, he has license to give to give him either name that he wants. Rabbi Baruch Chana, there's no choice. He's Baruch Hua, right? Chana is Rav Chiya's brother. He's the father of Rabbi, and La Baruch Achate. He's not, meaning Rabbi Baruch Chana is not a nephew through the sister of Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya cannot call him the son of my sister. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that, you know, he had two choices. He could have called Rav the son of his brother or the son of his sister. And he chose to call him the son of his sister. In the case of Rav, he only had one option. Ibais Ema. The Gemara now is looking to see why he would call him the son of his sister. I mean, what was the advantage? He had two options. So now we're turning to Daf Hamid Beis. Al Shem Chachmasa. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo Melch says, Emar lechachma achosi at. That somehow the concept of chachma, of wisdom, is identified with a sister. Again, we'd have to learn through the Agadic commentaries here why chachma is related to a sister. Why is that sister relationship considered a personification of chachma? But be that as it may, what Rabbi Chiya wanted to point out to Rebbe is that my nephew Rav is the personification of chachma. He is the great chacham. He's the son of my sister. Okay, this ends the digression. Now we get back on track. Remember that Rebbe refused to confer on Rav Yatir and Yodin, but to confer upon Rav Yore and Yodin, but not Yatir. Why not? So now we're going to learn a whole sugya about Tumah V'Tara. Okay? Are you ready for this? Okay, I'm not sure I'm ready, but we'll give it a shot. You really have to know a lot about what's called Masechta Machshirin, is one of the complicated Masechtas in Shas. Anyway, so the Gemara says the following. Yatir Bechoros. Rav Chiya asks Rebbe, Yatir Bechoros. Can Rav issue a psak on Bechoros with regard to Mum? Al Yatir. My timer. Ile Mishum Delo Chalchim. If you're going to tell me that Rav was not an expert in Mumei Bechoros, Hakam Rina, we know that he's called Ben Achosi the Chachim Tuva. He's outstandingly wise. Okay, fine. So the Mefarshim go into great detail about how the Gemara knows he was outstanding in Mumin. So we'll see this in another minute. Hold on. And the Gemara says the following: Ela mishum delo baki b'mumi. Okay, you can't tell me that the reason is that he wasn't intelligent. So he certainly had natural intelligence. He could certainly learn these halachas. Ah, but maybe it's not enough to learn these halachas. Maybe he was a chacham, but he didn't have the clinical experience, meaning he didn't have the hands-on experience, and therefore he's not a baki b'mume. So that's impossible. Rav talks about himself here, and he says, Shmona Srei Chadoshim, oh, I told you it was 3 years, it's only a year and a half. Okay, a year and a half, Gadalti, Eitzel Roe Behema. Imagine a chacham like Rav, who spends a year and a half hanging out with the shepherds, you know, Leda, in order to learn Ezemum Kavua v'Ezemum Over, which are the permanent blemishes and which are the temporary curable blemishes. So he certainly was not only a chacham in the abstract sense, he also had the hands-on experience and the bekiyus. So why did Rav not receive, why did Rebbe hold back on conferring on Rav the Yatir Bechoros status? Ella lachlok lo kavo. This is the first answer. I like the second answer better. But the first answer is lachlok lo kavid l'Rava Barachana. In other words, Rav Chiya basically took the case of both of his nephews in front of Rebbe, and in the third question, asking him if they could be Yatir Bechoros. So what happens is that Rebbe wants to give kavod to Rav Barachana above and beyond that of Rav. We have to understand why, and I'll explain that in just a second. So how did this kavod express itself. He would confer upon Rav Baruch Hanan the status of Yatir Bechoros. He would deny Rav that status. Now, why was it important for Rebbe to make this distinction and to elevate Rav Baruch Hanan to a higher level than Rav? So this Rashi explains based on the fact that the more covered Rebbe would give to someone, the more covered the people, the rank and file citizens would give to someone. And Rebbe had no worries about Rav. You know, Rav's status was an excellent status. Everyone had a tremendous admiration and Yiras HaKovod and awe of Rav. The status of Rav Baruch Hanan was a little bit questionable. He didn't have that high-ranking Chachma status of Rav, so he wanted to give him some sort of an extra recognition, and he did that by giving him Yatir Bechoros. Now, what would be if a Bechor came in front of Rav, and he's the greatest, you know, final expert on Bechoros? He would have to confer with someone else, although that someone else would definitely accept his opinion on this moon. But I like the second answer better. Ibayis Ema Mishum Ha Gufe. Just because of Rav's incredible expertise, that's why Rebbe did not want to confer on him the status of Yatir. That sounds counterintuitive, does it not? Because of Rav's expertise, therefore he doesn't deserve to be ordained as Yatir Bechoros Yatir. The Rav Baki Bemumei Tfei. Rav knew about certain mumim that no one else knew about. He was such an expert that he could discern a blemish in the animal that no one else knew about. You know, this reminds me of the Gemara in Anizokin about the slicing a little cut underneath the ear, the earlobe of a. So there's certain mumim that aren't obvious, and Rav would be able to find these mumim. So what's going to happen in such a case? That Rav Baki b'mumi tfei v'shari mumi delo yade inshi. Now there were other mumim that other people didn't recognize as kvuim, and therefore he would be matir them because he knew that they were. Just one second. Vishari means he would allow you to shech the animal because he would identify this mum and he would say, this is a mum kavua. Nobody thought it was a mum kavua. So when they heard that he was matir shechting the animal, Amri, they came to the mistaken conclusion, ki hai gav nishari Rav, that Rav was matir because it looked this way. So they started thinking that We'll extrapolate and compare from Rav's case to other cases. V'yosu mishre mum over. They're going to come because they thought that the mum that Rav was matir. They thought that mum must have been a mum kavua, and they'll start making equations. But it was only Rav who knew specifically because of his ingenious knowledge and his expertise. He knew to identify it as a mum kavua. Other people would think that, you know, I can make a comparison and here's something else that also looks like the very same mum that Rav Paskin on as a mum kavua. I would also consider that a mum kavua, and they'll go ahead and they'll be matir when really it's a mum over and it's not a real mum. So dafka because of Rav's ability to come up with insights that no one else would appreciate and recognize, that's going to lead to a possibility that somebody might mistakenly make an analogy between one case and the other. He thinks he's also a great expert at identifying mumim. He'll say this is also a mum like the mum that Rav was matir. And now the Gemara says that we have a similar case in Machshirim, where people started hearing, you know, a psak, and they drew the wrong conclusion based on what they understood to be the psak. So let me just read one more line, and then I'll let you go. The Gemara says that Rav Chia asked Rebbe Yore, and he answered Yore. So the Gemara wants to know, E Gamir, if Rav was an absolute expert in Iser Veheter, Rishusa Lomalei LeMishkal, the entire purpose of Netilas Rishus is to cover you as an insurance policy in Dini Mominos, in a monetary case, when you err in judgment. But as far as Yorah is concerned, which means Isur Beheta, you want to know whether this chicken is permissible or it's treif, Rav doesn't need Netilas Rishus for that. He is the final authority. He knows exactly whether it's Osir Mutter. He's not serving as a lone Bezdin, as a Yochid Mumcha. He's just a Baki in Hilchas Isur Beheta. And as such, he can tell you whether you're allowed to eat this chicken or not. Is Rishus Olam Alei LeMishkal? Why does he need Rishus? And the Gemara is now going to tell us that even for Isur Veheta you need a Rishus. Because of a story that's going to go on now, which we'll pick up tomorrow in Masechta Machshirin, where a person did not have a Heter and Rishus in Isur Veheta, and as a result a Takola, something terrible happened because he didn't do exactly what he was supposed to do. So let's make a note of where we got up to here. Thank you so much. And should I take back these pages because we didn't get up to it yet? I think I'll take it back just so it doesn't get lost. And we'll do this B'li Neder tomorrow. Okay, if anybody wants to pass that up to me.
I wrote on the back of this one.
So, no, great. Again, it's a lot easier for me if you hold on to these pages. I'm just offering my this. Yeah, Don, you wanted to ask me, or Rube, who wanted to ask me a question? No, okay, fine. Okay. Do me a favor if you can, just shut this off.
The reshus that you get, the insurance policy, again, technically, how does that work? That's a hefker based in hefker. How does that insurance policy work? When the Reish Galusa gives you reshus,
right.
Now you're exempt from, you can't be sued when you give a minta. So how does that work with that? Is it hefker based in hefker? How does he give you reshus? Why does it work?
Yeah.
And if it does work, the Reish Galusa can do hefker based in hefker.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. It probably ultimately comes down to hefker based in hefker. But let's see if we can. If we can wait till tomorrow, Belinetta, we'll go through this article well. I think this article will put a lot of the things that we discussed into perspective.
Okay.
Okay then? So let's hold off on that.